So before I begin this morning, I just want to say that there are a few auspicious days. Today marks a pretty auspicious day for several occasions. Of course, one is the beginning of month of Damodar, last month of Chaturmasya. And very auspicious for making extra vows and doing something extra or extraordinary in our devotional service. We have heard our temple president and our devotees making the call every morning, announcing that we should do something extra. So for somehow or the other, that would coincide with today's verse, which I would like to talk on a little bit. And there's another auspicious day today, so I'd like to ask a question, maybe one of the youth. That let's start with the girls over here. Why are the deities wearing white today? Do you know? See the deities dress? Now let's start with the youth first. These girls over there, can you say, any one of you know why the deities are wearing white today? No? How about the youth over here? Yeah, well, it's full moon, but there's something more auspicious than that. So, yes, so let's hear Mataji. Yes, so it's Krishna Rasa Yatra is the night that the Rasa dance is being performed. So it's the custom that the deities are dressed in white. So that's a normal custom. And also today, thirdly, marks the disappearance day of one of our great devotees in our line, Murari Gupta. So I'll read a little bit about him before we get into the class. This is a translation, a purport that is taken from the Adi Lila by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Murari Gupta, the 21st branch of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a storehouse of love of Godhead. His great humility and meekness melt the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Purport. Sri Murari Gupta wrote a book called Sri Chaitanya Charita. He belonged to a Vaidya physician family of Srihatta, the paternal home of Lord Chaitanya, and later became a resident of Navadvipa. He was among the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya exhibited his Varaha form in the house of Murari Gupta, as described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Majalilya, third chapter. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his Mahaprakash form, he appeared before Murari Gupta as Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were sitting together in the house of Srivas Thakur, Murari Gupta first offered his respects to Lord Chaitanya and then to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, however, was older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore Lord Chaitanya remarked that Murari Gupta had violated social etiquette, for he should have first shown respect to Nityananda Prabhu and then to him. In this way, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari Gupta was informed about the position of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And the next day, he offered his obeisances first to Lord Nityananda and then to Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave chewed pan or betel nut to Murari Gupta. One Shivananda Sen offered food to Lord Chaitanya and then that had been cooked with excessive ghee. And the next day, the Lord became sick and went to Murari Gupta for treatment. Lord Chaitanya accepted some water from the water pot of Murari Gupta, and thus he was cured. The natural remedy for indigestion is to drink a little water, and since Murari Gupta was a physician, he gave the Lord some drinking water and cured him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the house of Srivas Thakur in his Chaturbhuja Murti, Murari Gupta became his carrier in the form of Garuda. And in these pastimes of ecstasy, the Lord then got up on his back. It was the desire of Murari Gupta to leave his body before the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the Lord forbade him to do so. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat Maja Lila, chapter 20. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day appeared in ecstasy as the Varaha Murti, Muraragupta offered him prayers. He was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, and his staunch devotion is vividly described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Maja Lila 15 chapter, verses 137 through 157. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 10:49 purport. So, this is a little bit about Muraragupta. And now we're going to go into Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, entitled The Deliverance of Muchukunda, Texts 20 and 21. So simultaneously we'll do 20, and then responsively we'll do 21. So 20 is up. Varam Vishva Bhadram Te Rite Kaivalyam Ajana Ekai Vishvatasyam Bhagavan Vishnur Avyaya. Translation. All good fortune to you. Now please choose a benediction from us. Anything but liberation, since only the infallible Supreme Lord Vishnu can bestow that. 21. Responsively, sir. Evam utka savai devam.
Evam utka savai devam.
Abhivandya mahayasaha.
Abhivandya mahayasaha.
Asayista guya vishto. Nidraya Devadataya.
Nidraya
Devadataya. Evam Ukta Savai Devam.
Evam Ukta Savai Devam.
Abhivandya Mahayasaha.
Abhivandya Mahayasaha.
Asayista Guya Vishto.
Asayista Guya Vishto.
Nidraya Devadataya. Eva Mukta Savai Devan.
Eva Mukta Savai Devan.
Abhivandya Mahayasaha.
Abhivandya Mahayasaha.
Asayista Guha Vishto.
Asayista Guha Vishto.
Nidraya Devadataya.
Nidraya Devadataya.
Please chant.
Eva
Mukta Savai Devan. Abhivandya Mahayasaha. Ashayishta Guha Vishto. Nidraya Devadataya. Eva Mukta Savai Devan. Abhivanja Mahayasaha. Asayishta Guha Vishto. Nidraya Devadataya. Evam Yukta Sahavadevam. Abhivanja Mahayasaha. Ayashta Guha Vishto. Nidraya Devadattaya. Evam Ukta Savai Devan. Abhivanja Mahayasaha. Asayishta Guha Vishto. Nidraya Devadattaya. Mothers. Eva Mukta Savai Deva. Abhivanja Mahayasaha. Asayusto Guha Vishto. Nidraya Devadattaya. Eva Mukta Savai Deva. Abhivanja Mahayasaha. Asayusha Guha Vishto. Nidraya Devadattaya. Word for word. Evam, thus, uktaha, addressed, saha, he, vai, indeed, devan, the demigods, abhivandya, saluting, maha, great, yashaha, whose fame, ashayishta, he lay down. Guha Vishtaha. Entering a cave. Nidraya. In sleep. Deva. By the demigods. Dataya. Given. In translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Addressed thus, King Muchukunda took his respectful leave of the demigods and went to a cave where he lay down to enjoy the sleep they had granted him. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following lines from an alternate reading of this chapter. These lines are to be inserted between the two halves of this verse. Nidra meva tato vavre saraja shramakarshitaha Yaha kashchim mama nidraya bangam kuryat surotamaha savai bamsi bhavedashu tatokshtacha suraishtadaha swapam yatam yomadyayate vajayatvam achetanaha satvaya drishtamatrastu bamsi bhavatu tatshana. Translation. The king, exhausted by his labor, then chose sleep as his benediction. He further stated, O best of the demigods, may whoever disturbs my sleep be immediately burned to ashes. The demigods replied, so be it, and told him, that insensitive person who wakes you in the middle of your sleep will immediately turn to ashes simply by your seeing him. Hare Krishna. So, just to recap a little bit, here the demigods are offering a benediction to this pious king, King Muchukunda. And they clearly stated here, they said, please choose a benediction other than liberation, because only the Supreme Lord can offer that. So, that we all know is very clear, and the demigods are honestly accepting that. However, it should be noted that anyone who is favorably disposed to Krishna consciousness, such as this pious king, King Muchukunda, the demigods' favor are always with such a person, and the result of which one can actually achieve liberation. as we would find in the life of King Muchukunda here later on. So even though they cannot offer liberation directly, they can do so much to point one in that direction. So you have so many demigods, but they're not in that position. But interesting to note that the spiritual master can offer that, so liberation or deliverance for the fallen souls. So therefore, the spiritual master is considered to be the sum total of all the demigods combined. So what's the other interesting thing here is that King Muchukunda is accepting that benediction, and he's making his choice as to what benediction he wants. And the benediction that he's choosing is to accept sleep for a very long time. So that may appear to be a little strange, isn't it? That you have so much at your disposal, such a great personality, but you accept that. So to understand why he accepted this benediction, we want to backtrack a little bit and understand the life of King Muchukunda. He was born in the previous Manvantara, so that was a long, long time before. And very pious personality and very powerful personality also. So much so that he was fighting for the demigods, he was protecting the demigods. We find in the first canto of the Bhagavatam also, Srila Prabhupada describes a similar thing of Arjuna, that he was such a powerful devotee and personality that he used to defend the demigods, he would fight for them. So here King Muchukunda is a similarly pious person, very religious. He lived a life and led his kingdom according to religious principles. And he was fighting for the demigods. They asked him to protect them in their battles against their enemies, the demons. So powerful he was that he was able to protect even the demigods. So towards the end, Kartikeya came up to become their new protector. So they offer King Muchukunda his leave from his post. And a result, they offer him any benediction that he wants, accepting liberation. So that's what this verse is about here today. So, because he was fighting for so many hundreds and hundreds of years of according to earthly calculation, then he was very tired, and he also gave up his kingdom to go and fight for the demigods. He made such a sacrifice. It's described that, depends on which heavenly planet, is that one day for residence on the heavenly planets equals to 6 months here. And there are different calculations, depends on the level of those planets. So, thank you. So, fighting for the demigods means a really, really long time here on Earth. And whilst he was performing these activities back in the previous Manvantara, he was offered a blessing by the sage Garga Rishi. And so that blessing is that in 4 yugas to come, you would get the darshan of Lord Krishna. So he was thinking, this is very auspicious, this is nice that I'm getting such a benediction. But it's 4 yugas down the road. Now that's a really long time. You know, that's a really, really long time. So then he's thinking, how can I protect my piety? How can I protect my Krishna consciousness to keep in that status, that state of mind for such a long time so that, you know, I don't get any mishaps in this material world or get any fall down. So that's a dangerous position once we're in the material world. Sometimes it's very dangerous, and all the time it's very dangerous, and a devotee tries to do everything that it takes to protect his Krishna consciousness at every moment. And this month is very auspicious for enhancing that protection of our Krishna consciousness to do something a little extra and get much more benefits. So King Muchikunda was thinking, such a long time, how can I make that time span shorter? So then he thought, okay, let me just sleep, and like that, all these four yugas will just go at a flash, because when one sleeps, he's not conscious of time. So it's for this reason that King Muchikunda decided to accept sleep as his benediction. Because like that, he won't be performing any activities in the material world. He will not be conscious of time, and then he can get a darshan of the Lord. So sometimes we find that within our lives as devotees, we also make some similar, apparently strange decisions. When I say strange, I don't mean it in a negative way. I was told that the word strange in America can be a negative, but in where I grew up, you know, with the British English, it basically means that out of the norms of how people normally behave. So King Muchikunda, he took a strange stand to take this benediction. And in the life of our Vedic histories, in the Bhagavatam, we also find there are some examples, one of which is Jat Bharat, that he also took a strange stand in his Krishna consciousness. After being a pious king and falling down, getting a deer's body, when he got back his human life, he decided he's not going to take any chances. So he decided to behave like a dumb and a mad person. Now that's out of the norms of a pious personality. But he took extra precaution just so that he can be protected, so that he don't take any more chances in getting his spiritual life affected. So sometimes within our movement also, we find devotees who do that. Or because of a purpose that they have to fulfill, that they may sidestep from the normal sadhana which we have. We have our normal sadhana of getting up early, attending Mangal Arati, Bhagavatam class, and the whole nine yards going down, which we all know. But sometimes some devotees would step out of that just so that they can achieve something that is there either for their responsibility or for some purpose. We find Srila Prabhupada, for example, when he was there with his godbrothers before he came to the West, there were some situations where that forced Srila Prabhupada to sidestep from that program and get off on his own, so that his main duty per se in his lifetime, to his instruction from his spiritual master, can be executed. So he sidestepped, and the result of which we have the Krishna consciousness movement, and now all of us are getting so much benefits. I know when I first joined this movement, I was first exposed to Satrup Maharaj, and he had a different program. He would get up at 12 midnight, and he would write until 4:30 for Mangal Arati. He would attend Mangal Arati, and then he would go and take rest. So our normal practice, what we were taught, well, Brahma Muhurta hour is the best time for doing japa. No one should sleep at that time, so we should get up and do japa. But Satrup Maharaj, he was the initiating spiritual master there at the time, and he was doing something different. But there was a great purpose behind it. So to achieve that was due to his bodily situation, his health issues and whatever, that was most convenient for him to execute that mission that he had. Similarly, when I first met Dhanavir Maharaj, that was before he was sannyas, we lived some time together in the Miami temple. His sadhana was also to go to bed at, take rest at 8 p.m., get up at 12 midnight. He would write until Mangal Arati. After Mangal Arati, then he would chant his rungs and go on the entire day. And he carried on that program for many, many years. I don't know if it's on to now. So sometimes even within Krishna consciousness, that we are all here connected to the temple within the atmosphere of our community, we have a standard program where we attend Mangal Arati. It's 4:30. And the entire program goes down. But we find some devotees within our community would do a little otherwise. I know even for myself, sometimes I do otherwise. Like for Kirtan, sometimes I won't be here. But to get everything achieved, what I have to achieve in the day with my own situation, I find this to be best suited for me. Even Srila Prabhupada, when he was Grihastha, he describes that he would chant four rounds in the morning, then four rounds before he takes breakfast, four rounds after lunch, and then after dinner he would chant his other four rounds, and like that he completes his 16 rounds for the day. Because I was told that those who are living in the ashram of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, they would do 64 rungs per day. Those who are living outside or those who are doing Sankirtan, then they had a different standard, a minimum of 16 rungs. So Srila Prabhupada also made all those adjustments. With all Brahma Muhurta time was the best time for chanting your rungs. But because of his situation, that was best suited for him. Similarly, with we as devotees, with all we have the standard program, I'm not saying that anyone should move from the standard program. What I'm saying basically is that sometimes, due to our situations and our responsibilities, we would make some adjustments so that our daily life and our responsibilities and everything can be achieved. And I would, myself personally, I would, at 6:30 in the morning, I would wake our deities, do Gayatri, and then I go and take rest until 7:05. But because of my schedule, because all day long I have no time to take rest or anything, and that seems to be best suited for me. For somebody else, some other program may be suitable. So in Krishna consciousness, we have these standard programs, and especially in a month like this Kartik month, we can take advantage of that and create a situation along with attending the morning program, attending the daily program at the temple, to think of our own situation and create an atmosphere whereby our life can flow smoothly, with our material life has to go on, our spiritual life has to go on. So just like we have to take rest every day, we have to eat. We have to wash our bodies. We have to work. Similarly, we have to chant our rungs. We have to take prasadam. You know, we have to attend to our spiritual life. We have to study. So we have to figure a way of how to achieve all of that. And this is the great wonder that Srila Prabhupada has given us. This house in which the whole world can live. Some or the other, I always tend to use that phrase whenever I'm speaking with devotees. Srila Prabhupada gave this house in which a whole world can live, that in this home of Krishna consciousness, we can achieve everything that is there to be achieved. We can keep our material life together, our griha situation or whatever situation we may have, and also we can keep our spiritual life intact, because what Srila Prabhupada designed for us is not only to stay in the temple and have the program, but to design it in such a way that everyone's home can be a temple. I know one devotee visited my home the other day, and she was like completely amazed as she saw our big Jagannath deities, and she was thinking, oh, that she has visited so many devotees' homes, And every one of them, they have so many nice deities. There's so many temples in Alachua. There are so many temples around because deities are there. They're being taken care of. They may not have the standard as a temple, but there's some standard that everyone has or everyone should have. So it's such a nice atmosphere that Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna consciousness in such a diverse way that every one of us can fit ourselves into a program and carry on our lives peacefully. So we can also, if you're not able to follow all the temple programs every day, and because mainly most of us are outsiders and we're living in a Kali Yuga situation, worst of all, we're living in America, where the only things that keeps piling, the only thing that makes mountains in America are bills. Nothing else makes mountains. Bills are piling every day without you even asking or thinking of them. So we have to have situations, we have to create situations where we can battle with those and at the same time carry on our Krishna consciousness nicely. So in some cases, we may also make some strange, per se, decisions to achieve that goal. Like here, King Muchukunda, he has made this very strange decision to accept this benediction, to sleep for a very long time. I mean, I'm not saying we should ask to sleep, because that can destroy us also. But in his case, very unique. And because he had this benediction that he would see the Lord, but in such a long time, which means that he would live for such a long time. I don't know if any one of us who are probably benedicted here to live that long. Maybe there are some. I know certainly I'm not. So within this short time, we can think within our lives and arena of Krishna consciousness, we can think of how to protect our Krishna consciousness, how we can protect our lives by making adjustments that suits our situation. I know many times my wife and I would discuss this point as to what we can do to enhance our Krishna consciousness. And for her, she has a whole different program because she has different duties to perform and her situation is different. And for me, I have a whole different situation. So originally we thought, well, let's just have a program together so we can all do this together. But then, you know, several years ago, we found that that's not going to work because her situation is different. Mine is different. Our kids are different. So every one of us, we have to choose an individual situation that matches that lifestyle within Krishna consciousness. So I want to encourage, and especially in a month like this, in the month of Kartik, that we try to create a situation that can best impact our Krishna consciousness, at least for this month, and see how that works. And if it works well, then let's continue. So these are some short thoughts I have. And these verses here, seeing that King Muchukunda was taking this stand to take a turn from the norms of society and wanting to benefit his life. So actually one more point I want to mention before is that this program that Srila Prabhupada gave us, this sadhana, is not something new that Srila Prabhupada created. It's been going on for way, way back. In the third canto, chapter 26, the 22nd chapter, verse 33, that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how this sadhana, this program, has been given from way back in the beginning of our Vedic history. Even Lord Krishna, we find that in the Krishna book, that Krishna's sadhana would be to get up early in the morning and he would meditate on himself. Yeah, that's stated in the Krishna book. So of course, you know, we don't meditate on ourselves, we meditate on him. So he's the person that he should meditate on. So Krishna also set that example by having a sadhana. And he states in Bhagavad Gita that what great men do, the world would follow. So there was no need for Krishna to do that, but for our sake, he did. He followed so many rules and regulations, he followed all the norms of society, so that we can also follow. So this program is there, and Srila Prabhupada handed this entire day's program down to us for our benefit. And within that, sometimes we are forced to make adjustments. So anyway, I'll stop here with that, and if anyone has any comments or questions, we can take them. Oh, Janamashmi Prabhu.
It seems a little bit risky to adjust the standard that Prabhupada set without consultation with a serious with a senior and realized devotee.
I don't want to cut you, but where did that idea came from? Maybe I misexplained, but that was never what I intended. Now, what I'm saying is that Srila Prabhupada gave this standard to follow, but we within our own lives, because of our work situation or of our situation, we might be forced to personally adjust, like for example, some devotees that they don't come to Mangal Arati, not because they don't want to come, but sometimes their situation doesn't allow. Of course, that's a difference between whether their situation doesn't allow or they just don't want to do it. But what I'm saying is that with our own situation, we might be forced, like some devotees cannot make it to Bhagavatam class because they have to get to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. But then they will try to come to the evening programs or, like what many devotees do, many times I get called as soon as I finish class, a devotee called me from work. I heard the class. How did you hear it? Oh, I had it on my computer while I was at work or, you know, while I was driving. I have my iPhone on. So they are within Krishna consciousness, is totally legal, but they are not able to attend the class because of their situation. So that's what I'm saying. There's a fine point of difference, there's a fine line, but a very important one. I'm not saying to adjust, no. All the temples, that's what Srila Prabhupada gave. Even though some temples, they have different programs, like some of the temples we visit yearly, they have Mangal Arati at a different time. But that's a different thing altogether. I'm talking about, you know, as individual devotees, if we can make it to attend all the standard programs, we should at least think of making some adjustments so that personally, not to the program, but to our lives, that we can achieve the same as though we were coming to the entire program. Sorry to cut you there, but is there anything else you have to say?
Just that, you know, the tendency may be for many of us to reduce our commitment to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
It's quite a mature person that will make the adjustments and stay fixed. That's the only reason I brought up the point about consultation.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's definitely true. So it takes a lot of maturity to really like stand aside or per se to do something a little different and still keep that balance. But sometimes we're forced to do it, whether we were junior devotees or senior. I guess the point out that I want to bring it out very clear, but the point is that there are many devotees who cannot attend the standard program, so therefore they don't function very well. Rather than making adjustments to suit their situation, they choose, okay, well, I can't, therefore, you know, I'm not going to try to make up in some way. I'm not criticizing anyone, please forgive me if that's a thought. Well, basically what I'm saying is that the nature is there to do that. But we have to strive for the highest ideal. And the highest ideal for a devotee is to follow the program that Srila Prabhupada gave us within all the temples. Shri Vikram Prabhu.
I was also thinking with the students, sometimes they have a lot of studies and so forth, but whenever there's a little extra time or holidays and so, they should be encouraged by the parents to come and see the deities and attend the programs, follow their sadhana and so forth, because the tendency is to compromise there too, or just focus on their studies, but then they neglect their sadhana and spiritual. So all the parents should try to keep this in mind and try their best to encourage them to attend the programs whenever it is on time.
Yeah, actually I've seen the likeness of that. I've seen a lot of youth that would do, you know, marvelous. And actually I'm really surprised to see some of them that are studying so much and they still make time to chant, they still make time to do so much service. You know, they're always the other side as well. But on the most part, I think within our community that the parents are actually making efforts in doing that, and a lot of the kids are reciprocating. Sometimes you won't always find them in the morning program here, but yeah, some of them do a lot of other, you know, sangha by themselves, kirtan, all different kind of groups. Yeah, Kishore Prabhu?
Well, it seems like we're speaking about two different types of adjustments. First, we were talking about the adjustment of protecting our Krishna consciousness by even adding to what, you know, Srila Prabhupada, the standard that he gave. You know, you gave examples of Satsarupa Goswami, and you gave examples of Dhanavira Goswami, and also made me think of, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's schedule. Yeah. Or even devotees in Mayapur, that they wake up, you know, at 2 in the morning, they chant all the rounds before Mangalarti, because maybe after Mangalarti they have to do other services, tend the cows or gardening or whatever it is. Then, so that's, that is understandable about protecting Krishna consciousness, so adding to the regular sadhana. That was one point. And then it seems like we're beginning to discuss a different type of adjustment of kind of a very practical adjustment for those who aren't dedicated sadhakas. That's what it seems like. You know, we're mentioning students here, we're mentioning people who have schedules that may, or, you know, whatever. So it's just to point it out there that it's like two different types of adjustments we're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, coming to the one more focus at this time was like the, you know, the ones you mentioned, the second of not having, you know, like dedicated sadhakas. In that point is that we are actually going through our training, because somewhere someone quoted me, I haven't read it personally, that they said, Srila Prabhupada said, that for a student or a young person, their devotional service at this time is to take their education and get themselves qualified along with their Krishna conscious practice. But in other words, you know, that focus is there because we're living in a material world, and Srila Prabhupada didn't intend for everyone to be living devotees in the temples. I think the more wide intent would be to be in all different strategic corners of the world and give Krishna consciousness. So in that way, we have to be qualified also. Like in Srila Prabhupada's own life, his dad wanted him to get an education. He wanted him to get an education. And he told him that by getting an education, people would respect you. And living in today's society, it's important. And we find that everything is on the basis of education or qualification. So Srila Prabhupada went through school and get his education as per his father's instruction. And so similarly, many of our youth and students here, we are encouraging the same thing. But do it in such a way so that you can protect your Krishna consciousness. We have seen the likeness of both sides, where devotees done marvelous, and some, to a lesser extent, wasn't able to keep that balance, or at least not for, you know, some time. So, anyway, I do appreciate your point, Kishore Prabhu, that we don't want to stray from what we originally talked about, and it's not intended to point fingers at anyone. It's more of a matter of bringing out practicality and try to help each other in Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Pran Govinda Prabhu?
The point is, every living being must do sadhana. There is no, in our Vaishnava history, without sadhana, just by mercy alone, what? I was tracing for many, many times, and I asked different sannyasis, different devotees. There is no such thing. Even in the example of like this month, Radha Damodar Vrata, that every acharya, especially Sanatana Goswami, says Mother Yashoda could not bind Krishna without her endeavor. She was trying whole day, and she is sweating, and then she prayed to Narayan. Then Krishna said, oh, okay. So his mercy, like Vaishnava's mercy, is not complete enough without our own endeavor. In other words, sadhana has to be very essential. Now, let's example of Muchukunda. End of this chapter, you will see that Muchukunda had a nice dialogue with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And after the dialogue, what did Lord do to Muchukunda? He could have just stayed and served the Lord, but he did not. He didn't get opportunity. Yeah.
I didn't want to bring that point up. I was leaving that for my next class next week as I was speaking about.
But the important point is that Lord sent him to Badrinath. And what did he do there?
Perform austerities.
Yes. So without performing sadhana, just by mercy is not enough. Both has to be there. These two fingers Prabhupada mentioned. Endeavor and mercy, both. Then possible. So it's sooner the devotee perform nice sadhana to achieve the goal, sooner is better for that person.
Yeah, I think that was the whole point of the class here today, to have a sadhana, each one of us to have a sadhana. And the point I was making is that sometimes we're not able to have the sadhana at the temple or to follow the temple sadhana, but we can create something that is in line with this and that we can achieve similar. We should all strive to be here and worship together at the temple. But if we have awkward situations, then you know we can make it up. We can think creatively and make it up. So.
Also, Jaravarat case that you mentioned, Maharaj Bharat case, Prabhupada at least 4 or 5 texts he repeated the same thing. That Maharaj Bharat did not recognize that he's becoming negligence in his sadhana. When he was developing attachment to the deer, and he was offering a lamp, halfway he stopped and looking at the deer. Where's the deer? Where's the deer? He is losing interest to serve the Lord, and he's slacking in his sadhana. If he would maintain, then he would not fall down. So there was a, Prabhupada made a very heavy statement. The sadhana must be maintained. Otherwise there's a chance of falling down.
Yeah, and so that's why Jad Bharat, you know, he went to the extreme when he got back his human body as Jad Bharat. He went to the extreme that not to take any chances whatsoever. Yeah, we're not saying that one should do that, but it's something we can keep in mind, that try not to take chances. That's the whole point. Try as much as possible, try to protect our Krishna consciousness and everybody else around us, with our own families and with the other devotees. Try to help, or try to help create a situation so that they can be helped, even if we personally can't. I remember with my godbrother to be way back in the 80s, we were friends from long before when we became devotees. My brother and I, we want to bring him to Krishna consciousness. But it was a little tough case with his parents. So he thought, okay, we're going to get him a job with us where we were working. We were working in an office. So I got him a job there. And like that, we were always there together. We were giving prasadam. And then from that, he became a devotee. So we kind of tried to create a situation so that, you know, the benefits can be there. I think Stink Stithri Muni had his hands up before. Did you? Did you have your hands up? Or no? Okay, go ahead. Okay.
You brought up an interesting point there about Maharaj Bart. So he gets enamored by the deer and he kind of gets distracted. And then there's discussion in the purport how a more concentrated dose of sadhana, perhaps he could have maintained his focus. So then you brought up, well, in his next life, he was Jed Bart, and he just, but his next life was Jed Bart. What exactly was his sadhana then?
No, the
I'm sure he did, because otherwise he would have fallen down, right?
Exactly. Yep.
He felt guilty. Father felt guilty that what should I do? I am a Brahman father, and he is the youngest one, and he is not showing any interest to learn, but still I have to do. So out of duty he was trying to do. But he did not understand that this material so-called chanting Gayatri, not our Vaishnava Gayatri, the material Gayatri of Brahma Gayatri and others, it is not useful to him because it is only good for liberation. And he is already Mahabhagavat, he is already eternally liberated from that time. So that part he did not know. So Srila Prabhupada writes that he was so absorbed that nothing would attack him. He was completely absorbed in Brahman, in Krishna, completely.
Yeah, actually Srila Prabhupada also had a similar problem with Vijayananda Prabhu. He tried to teach him the Gayatri mantra and, you know, he would not get it. He would... Jayananda Prabhu would finish his Gayatri in like half a minute, a minute. Yeah, that's true. It's stated in his Lilamrita. And he would try to teach him, and then Srila Prabhupada said, he's always absorbed in Krishna. Whatever he says is okay, don't worry about it. Yeah. Krishna Kesha Prabhu.
I guess the bottom line is that we have to strike a balance to get the all-round complete benefit of our spiritual and, you know, regular life. Someone asked, I think it was Satsarup Maharaj, you know, what to do. You know, I have these material activities and responsibilities to take care of, and I have to chant my rungs. He said, well, strike a balance, but if the balance is a little bit more on the spiritual side, that is better.
In that same pastime, Srila Prabhupada also told him is that one has to be a good manager. And actually the situation was that he was doing all his services. He has a tendency like me, like I don't know how to dedicate service to others. So I would just do everything myself. So Satya Maharaj was doing the same thing, and Srila Prabhupada told him, he said, a good manager is, Srila Prabhupada told Satya Maharaj that a good manager is one who knows how to dedicate services to others. So both of you gets benefit. The service gets done, he gets time to chant his rungs. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to be very good managers. That's like, you know, a conclusion. So can you give him the microphone?
I think the point that Prabhuji is speaking about is how we cannot force endeavor upon others, and everybody's endeavor is differently. So one way to cultivate that is by gradually getting to the standard that Srila Prabhupada wants from all of us by performing Namahata. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he put so much emphasis on Namahata, and this is how preaching will spread the quickest, is because people feel comfortable within their homes and they start something that they're comfortable with, and then through association, through sangha, through coming to the temple, through having this, you know, having namahatas at other people, you know, devotees, they see their standard that's maybe a little higher, then we'll come to that, you know, standard of, you know, that Srila Prabhupada likes. So the emphasis of sadhana isn't being weakened, it isn't,
is just, you know, understanding or being empathetic to those whose endeavor may not be as strong as others.
Yeah, basically we just use our intelligence and common sense and do what it takes to help ourselves and to help others. So in some cases, I know we also did that in Miami when we first moved to Miami in 96. My family and the Granny Prabhu's family, we started Namhat programs. We had 55 Namhat programs in the first year or 52 weeks. And the result of that is that we were able to bring devotees who didn't even know where the temple was, because the last time they came to the temple was somewhere else, was like 6-7 years before. And not only that, but they started to tithe to the temple, and they gave enough tithing to balance the bills of the temple to take care of all the basic bills. So it achieved so much. The Namhata achieved bring back the association of devotees, bring back enthusiasm, bring support to the temple, bring about better sadhana for the devotees. So yes, it's a very powerful program. I was told at one point in Mayapur there were like 500 Namhat programs. I'm not sure if that was going on simultaneously, but or if so much per month or something like that, but there were many, many Namhat programs going on all over. So yes, so definitely. Yeah, and so last question, Janamashmi Prabhu. Yeah.
Mayapur, I just saw a figure on the internet. There's 1 million Namhata members in the Mayapur Namhata program.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised that there are more, because it's definitely spreading rapidly. Yeah. So, anyway, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.